Lord, we would like to thank you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to once again come around your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me as I speak. Give me the, touch my tongue, touch my lips. And help me, Lord, to deliver your message this morning. I just ask that you hide me behind your cross so that each you that is lifted up, each you that is heard, it's not me, but your word, Lord God, this morning. I pray that you would minister in the hearts of each one of us. Lord, even for the kids that are here and the youth that are here, Lord, I pray, speak blessing over the lives of each one of us. And thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, in our midst. Truly, Lord, where two or three come together in your name, there you are in our midst. And Lord, you are our strength. You are our strength and you are our confidence, Lord. So we put our faith, we put our trust in you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ngayong umaga po, sorry, this morning, I would like to share the blessings of obedience in our lives. Maybe I would like to start with a story, with this testimony. I have been serving the Lord for quite a while. When I graduated from the Bible school, I went in Papua New Guinea. I went to Australia in 2001 in New South Wales. I spent a year there just helping CRC Church, but they also have a Filipino community, a Filipino group. So that was a blessing. And when I went back to Papua New Guinea, I didn't like going back to the Philippines. I have loved Papua New Guinea so much that when Pastor Barry asked me, or he didn't ask me, he told me, you have to go back to the Philippines. And that was something that really saddened me, because in my heart, I would like to stay. So because in Papua New Guinea, either you hate it or you love it. But then, there's something that the Lord has done in my heart that when I went there, I just loved the Papua New Guineans, and just love the place. So it was struggling going back to the Philippines, but then I have to go back. I went to Palawan. Some of the Filipinos would know Palawan, but it's a very, very nice place. I went there and I was able to pastor a church there. And then after some time, I have to go to Cebu and pastor another church. That's where I learned Cebuano, Bisayan. So I spent 4 years in Danau City before I was given a chance to come back or to go to Pampanga, where I'm pastoring now. It came to a point when I told the Lord, Lord, I get tired of moving, you know, moving from one place or another, pastoring another place, one place to another. And I kind of told the Lord, Lord, can this be my last church? I mean, the one in Papua New Guinea. The one in Pampanga, sorry. Lord, can this be my last church? So I don't really want to move to another church again and, you know, start all over again. So that was sort of, okay. So I came to Pampanga in 2010. So this October it may be my 7 or 6 years in Pampanga. But then this year something happened which I didn't really expect. Some of my trusted leaders left the church, which I was not really expecting to happen. But then it happened. And that really hurt me so much, because they left without my blessing or without my consent, or because they just want to leave. They started to attend this another. They have another teaching which they get attracted to, and they said they would like to leave the church. So that sort of really discouraged me, and it came to a point when it's kind of the Lord asking me, are you still gonna serve me? Because at that time, I really would like to give up. Like, I don't want to to continue. Like, I would like to go home, something. I don't want to be in the ministry anymore. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. But then I kind of, that throw me back that question. Like, you still want to stay in this church? So that was a hard question, but then I wasn't able to answer him because I said I would like to stay. Before I come to Pampanga, I would like to stay in this with me, my last church. And nothing happened. But then I decided, Lord, I will stay and I will continue serving you. And then the Lord began to show me new things that I didn't see before in ministry. In 2011, the Lord gave me a word, like a vision. And that vision is for the teens and for the children. I remember that the Lord would like to, you know, train the children, transform the youth, the one that you have seen in the PowerPoint presentation. That's exactly what the Lord told me that He would like to do. But then, in 2011, I thought, my mind, I was kind of feeling, no, I should concentrate on other things. What I thought was, you know, what I should concentrate on. So I set aside that thought that the Lord gave me yet. The word that the Lord gave me. But then, during that time that I was so discouraged, the Lord showed me that vision again. It's actually printed. and it's tarpaulin in the church. And then, I kind of thought, okay, Lord, I gave up, but then I would like to try what you would like me to do in 2011. So, even it's kind of late, but then I decided, Lord, I would follow you. And when I decided that in my heart, instead of giving up and leaving the church, leaving the Lord, something like, and not the Lord, but the church, the Lord showed me new things that has begun to really encourage me and have, you know, bring excitement in my heart. Because before I used to struggle with people, inviting people to come to church. But now, every week, a new young people would come without me even inviting them something. The Lord would use other young people or children in the church to bring them, but without me even struggling. So that was encouraging. And I thought, it's really good to obey the Lord, hey? Because sometimes we have this idea that, Lord, your idea is not very practical. I should do my own idea. And then we come to a point when we become discouraged and then get back to the Lord. Lord, what's happening? And said, oh, because you're not doing my will. You're doing your own thing. So this morning, I would like to share with you the blessings of obedience. And when I say the blessings of obedience, this is to the will and to the word of God. And we should bring that balance, together to bring balance. Because we can say, oh, this is the will of God. But if that contradicts to the word of God, then that's not really the word of God. Okay? So we must bring the two W's together, the will and the word of God together. The will of God and the word of God. Jesus is our greatest example. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them, but to fulfill them." You know what? Before Jesus Christ came to this earth, He had in His heart and in His mind that I would come to earth for just one thing, and that is to obey my Father. Just is to fulfill the word or the will of my Father for which He has sent me on earth. That's what He had in His heart. Just I remember before going to Papua New Guinea, British missionary who came to the Philippines told me, "Ah, Gilbert, you're going to struggle in Papua New Guinea because, you know, people there are tough. I mean, like rugby players or something like that. And I'm not that kind of person, no?" But then, before I went there, I received that challenge that discouraged me. But then I took the challenge. But before getting on the plane to Papua New Guinea, I resolved in my heart, "Lord, when I go to Papua New Guinea, I will be a blessing. That means I will just obey you." And if I come back to what I have shared with you this morning, I didn't want to leave Papua New Guinea. I just love Papua New Guinea. I just got so connected with the people and became like one of them. Amen. So because it's important for us to have a resolve in our heart that we would do something and we would be committed to it. Just like what I have shared last Sunday, if you come to this church, you must make it a point or make a resolve in your heart that if you feel that the Lord is calling you into this church, then stay. And if hardship comes, because it will come, amen? Struggles will come, you know, conflict will come. Even inside the church, they will come. But then if you have resolved in your heart that this is where the Lord has put me, then I have no right to just leave it, you know, leave the tree where God has grafted me in, then you will stay. I'm not talking about Kuya Eric or something like that, but they have to they have to leave, because it's not like that. It's I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about like moving from, you know, from one church to another. It's not really my sort of values, because I feel that we should really, you know, stay where we are, where the Lord has put us, if the Lord has called us to where we are. No? And, oh, sorry, what happened? Okay. I have looked at the Greek word that they use for fulfill, and it says to finish, to accomplish, to complete, to satisfy, to execute. That's what Jesus had in his heart before coming here on earth. And, you know, even he said, when Jesus Christ came here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. When he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. It was not easy for him when he came here on earth. But he had to learn it, even through suffering, to obey the Father. You know, because it's one thing to resolve that you're going to, you know, to obey the Lord. But then when the testing comes for your obedience, then it's another thing. Because that would mean that you will have to make choices that will be difficult so that you can obey what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. So I'm gonna skip some. That's why even at home, you know, we like the first thing that children must learn is to obedience. Is obedience. Amen. That's the first lesson that they need to learn, to obey, even at home. But you may wonder, because even in a church, it's the same thing. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, says, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Amen. It's again obedience, even in the church. Amen. So because church is like a family, a home for us, spiritual home for us, the church. So the same thing that we want obedience in the house, But at the church, the Lord would like us to send the same teaching, and that is for us to obey. So, obedience even unto death. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. The death on the cross should be the death on the cross. So, when Jesus was at Gethsemane and he was praying, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me, but nevertheless, not my will but your will be done." Still, he had to make decision during the time of great testing in his life whether he would continue or he would continue to obey the will of the Father or stay away from it. But then he chose to do the will of the Father. Amen. Because he had this in his heart that even before he came, he will obey the will of his Father. So the question for us is, how far and until when are we going to obey? I remember the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Story of unwavering obedience. They came to a point when their obedience to God was tested. He said to them, this is the king that time, said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you refuse to worship my God and to bow down to the God, to the golden statue I have set up?" And the king said, "Now then, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, oboes, lyres, scythers, harps, and all the other instruments, bow down and worship the statue. If you do not, you will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Do you think there is any God who can save you?" And I like the way they answered. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, "Your Majesty, we will not try to defend ourselves. If the God whom we serve is able to save us from the blazing furnace and from your power, then he will. But even if he doesn't, your Majesty may be sure that we will not worship your God and we will not bow down to the gold statue that you have set up." Because they knew the law. They knew that they have only to worship God. And so even to the point of death, they decided, we will obey God. We will obey the word of our God. Amen. And for us, there are some testings of our faith that they don't even come to death experience or something like that. It's not. But then sometimes we would like to give up and we don't want to, you know, to follow the Lord because it's hard. It's getting hard. So I will skip some points because I would like to get to the point where I really would like to share this morning. So what are the blessings of obedience? Number one is, one blessing is you will be a treasure in the heart of God and will be given the privilege of serving Him. I'll explain that. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it reads, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So what do I see here? An obedient person is indeed a treasure in someone's heart. Do you agree? Yeah. In the church, especially with the children, it's interesting that those who obey you or those who would like to help you with the work in the church, I'm talking about the children or teens, they are the ones who become very close to you. Do you understand me? One of the accusations that have been given to me of the people that left are, "Oh, Pastor, you have some favorites in the church." Yeah, I have no favorites. But when I look back and, you know, I sort of sift through what they said, I realize I would deal with each person differently because each people is different. But then I would admit that I will get close and my heart would open wide for people who are obedient, for people who are submissive, for people who are, you know, who are just there to serve or help you. And I'm kind of thinking, maybe God is just like that. He doesn't really like this. He doesn't have favorites. But then, those who are obedient to Him feels that they are loved by God. Amen. With your children, you love. Of course, you love your children. But then, the ones who is more, you know, obedient to you would have more lollies or something. Would have more chocolates. You would secretly buy, you know, things for them. To give them favor or something. Yeah. Just making a joke, but sometimes it's true. So an obedient person is actually an asset, not a liability. Do you believe? Yeah. A blessing, not a pain in the neck. A burden bearer with you, not an added burden on you. It's really hard to have some people who are, you know, always you are planning this and then you say, we cannot do that, Pastor. It's hard. They always resist or they always, you know, disagree with all the things that you're saying. It's really hard, hey. Unlike for people who are there to, okay, we can do that. I can add something to that. I can do something with it. I mean, it's just different. So when it comes to handling responsibilities with serving, you would give responsibility to people who are obedient. Amen? Because obedient people will surely follow your order because they are obedient. You can trust them because they are obedient. Because you know that when you give them something to do, then they will do it because they are obedient. And they will surely support you. Amen. That's why obedient, one of the blessings that obedient people can have, even Christians, believers, is that they get close, they get very close to God. They get to feel the heart of God. No, because it just opens, you know, the heart of God when we have that kind of obedience, you know, attitude of obedience in our heart. That's why it's very important for us to have a resolve in our heart. Lord, I would like to obey you. I just would like to obey you. I just would like to honor you. With whatever you want me to do, then I'll do it. Even if it's hard. Even if it comes to a point when it's very difficult, I will resolve that I will obey you. Amen. The next thing is, you will be protected and defended by God Himself. There's another scripture, good scripture, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hebites, daming Hebites, no? And the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. But then the verse 22 just tell us that if we are obedient, if we obey the voice of the Lord, then the Lord will defend us because we are obedient to Him. I remember, this is a strong teaching or subject in our Bible school about servanthood and submission. Amen? Because I believe, and I see now that I have, you know, been sort of serving the Lord for a while, and I have some people who co-serve with me in the church. I see that this is very true. That you will be, there is protection when we are in submission, especially to the authorities. And I'll discuss with that later. One day, I asked, after church, I asked Joshua to cook rice. I got so excited because many people came to the church, and so it's like, I just, Joshua is 14 years old. Told him, Joshua, here's the 3 kilos rice, just cook it. And because he was very obedient, he did it. That boy was is a very obedient obedient boy. So I didn't realize, I didn't know that he hasn't cooked 3 kilos rice before. He only cooked a kilo of rice before. So what happened was, when it was time for lunch, the rice is half cooked. And those who have tasted half-cooked rice, you don't really like eating it. So, and when people, children, you know, started to grumble, like, we're hungry, and the rice is not yet cooked, you know, who felt responsible? I owned the responsibility. That's my fault. Because I asked Joshua to cook it, to cook the rice. Amen? And so he just had that covering because, you know, he was just obeying me. The same thing with God. Although when God leads us to do something, then he won't lead us into error. He will always teach us. But the point is, when we are in obedience, he will always protect us. Amen? That's why in the youth, when was that, Jared? Saturday, I have shared with the youth that it's very important for, if you don't want to get lost in life, you just have to do 4 things. Can any of the youth remember? The lost? Because I have a special gift for any youth that can remember the, if you don't want to get lost. Is there any one that's courageous enough to get up here and say, oh, Pastor, I know that. I know that. No, the youth. I have a special something from the Philippines I would like to share with any of the youth that can remember that. Anyone? Anybody? 10, 9. So I'll have the forgive of myself. No. We must, I've shared with them that lost, remember? Okay. Yeah. Lost is love. Love God above all. And then the second is obey your parents. And then submit to your leaders or to your pastor. And then and then treasure your church. So that means you stay in your church, you submit. You that's your protection. Your church is your protection. A Christian that doesn't have a church is like a person that doesn't have a home. Amen. So that's why it's very important for you to be in a church and you treasure your church. So the third thing is the promise of the Lord, if we continue to obey Him, is that said, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. We all want that, amen, for our lives. We all want to be prosperous. Anyway, that's what one of the things that the Lord promised us. To prosper us and to bless us. Amen. Remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which is very popular for most of us. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We all want to have a future, but a prosperous one. And that's what the Lord would like us to have. But then we must obey so that we can have that. Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. And this is, the nice scripture is a scripture that my sister gave me, which is very, very special. says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. So there is really blessing in obedience. Amen? So, the promise of the Lord doesn't mean that we won't go through the testing of our faith. Because promises will be tested. You know, the word of the Lord will be tested in our lives. But if we hold on to His word, then we will find that God is faithful to His word. And He will take us through. He always does that. He never fails anyone who trusts in Him. That's why when testing comes in our lives, to the point that you would like to give up, and sometimes your faith, you would like to give up your faith because it's too hard for you to trust. I just would like to encourage each one, just keep on holding unto God. Just holding onto His promises, into His word. Because everything will pass away, but His word will remain and will stay. So, put God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Amen? That means, in everything that we do, we must consider the Lord. We must ask the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? How do you want me to go about this? And then, a fourth thing is, at the end, the Lord promised that it will be well with us. Amen? We all want to end well. At the end of your life, you would like to end well. Like, Lord, I have finished the race. I have lived the life that you want me to live for you. Amen? And this can only happen to us if we choose and if we resolve in our hearts that, Lord, I will obey. You know? That's why in Jeremiah 42, verse 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Interesting, hey? Good or evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord, our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord, our God. Because the truth is, it's not always good. Sometimes there is evil that happens in our lives. But then the question is, are we still going to hold on to Him, to trust Him? So, I'm just going to run through with this. Obey our parents. For children, I would like to tell you, to ask you, obey your parents because that is right. That is the right thing to do. If you would like to have a good future, then obey your parents. And this is something that I would like to emphasize more strongly. It's because this has happened in our church in Pampanga that you obey your pastor. It may not be a popular thing. I don't know, here or something. But it's something that I really, you know, I'm thinking if those people just, Lord, listen to me or something, they would have not strayed or something. No, because all my, you know, all as a pastor, all my heart is to see them well or to see them grow in the church, in their faith. But then they chose to live. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen? It's actually, you know, this is interesting because I was doing my quiet time and I have read that even kings, before, they would do things for the priest or something like that so that the priest can pray for them and for his family, for the welfare of his family. It says in verse 10, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Even kings in Old Testament, they would, you know, do things for, you know, seek the blessing of the priest for their lives. It's not different now. You know, we must not neglect our pastor. The pastor has been put there by God to take care of us. Amen. So if you are making, you know, big decisions in your life, I don't mean you only get the guidance from your pastor, because some become so too extreme that even the way they wear their clothes, they have to ask their pastor, what should I wear? Something that's too extreme. But if you're just making, you know, life, you know, big decisions in your life, then try to, you know, ask pastor, what do you think? And do not live, never ever live, without the blessing of your pastor. Amen. Pastor Barry taught me. I have learned two important things from Pastor Barry, and that is the difference between permission and blessing. What's the difference between asking for permission and asking for blessing? Most of the time, we just like permission. Like, we would come to God, or maybe children would come to parents and say, Dad, I have planned all this, and we have already decided, you just have to sign up. You're just asking for permission, not a blessing. Very different. What we would like to have is the blessing. Like, even if you have something in mind, I would like to speak even to the leaders, or those who are leading small groups or having ministries in the church. If you want to plant anything, plan anything, plan it with your pastor. Amen? Do not make final decisions without your pastor knowing it. It's like us planning our lives and then just making God to sign it. Lord, oh, this is all my plan. Just put your signature in it and I'll go ahead. No. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. In all your ways, all the way, let God be with you. Amen? We seek the blessing. So one time, I went to Pastor Barbara's office because I was asking him for something. And he asked me, what do you want? My permission or my blessing? And then I didn't know the difference before. I couldn't say anything. And said, your blessing. Okay. That means you cannot go. Wow. That was but I think he was wise when he said that. And it's good that I did not go. I didn't realize it that time because I think, you don't understand. You don't understand. I cannot say that in front of him, but it's just in my mind. Because he's a strict man. So, yeah. So we are blessed, you know. I just would like to come to the last point. Obedience will bring about the prosperous, peaceful, provided for, protected life that God has promised each one of us. That's why I would like to encourage each one, live a life of obedience for our sake. Amen. And for the sake of our loved ones. Can I just pray? Father, we just would like to thank you for this morning. Thank you for the lessons on obedience. And thank you. Help us, Lord, to seek your blessing and not just your permission, Father. And help us to live a life that is honoring to you, so that at the end of it, we will say that all has been well with us because we have lived a life that you really want us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.